Therefore I ask, Blessed Mary, ever virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to a New York Catholic Conversation. My name is Deacon John Catalano, and I am joined as always by my good friend, my pal from St. Agnes on Long Island, Frank Alasia. Frank, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, Deacon. How's everything?
Everything is good. We've got a great topic tonight, and it's the saints. And there is really so much we can say about the saints. You know, there are more than 10,000 saints now that are recognized by the church. And the celebration of the saints is such a fundamental and basic and beautiful aspect of our Catholic tradition. We really do live and breathe the saints in all of our liturgies. And they're so much a part of our thoughts and prayers that we sometimes overlook how much they mean to us, you know, collectively and individually. One of the great things about the saints is the stories. The lives of the saints are so inspirational in so many ways. And Frank, you're always dropping saints on me, some of whom I've never heard before, but how would you start this conversation about the saints?
Well, the saints, you know, are the church's hall of fame. I mean, every time I walk into a Catholic church and look at those stained glass windows and see those saints, I'm just reminded of what an unbelievable tradition that we have. And of course, these are the canonized saints, right? They displayed what we call heroic virtue of humility and two of them particularly, humility and obedience. But, you know, all people who go to heaven are saints. And sainthood just isn't for monks. Saints come in all walks of life. You know, they come in all different shapes, sizes, and temperaments.
Yeah, and you mentioned those two virtues. I right away think about my favorite saint, Saint Joseph, the husband of Mary. First of all, I was taught by the Sisters of Saint Joseph in grammar school, the Josephites, and their devotion made a deep impression on me as a young kid. He seemed to be a kind, loving father and husband. He was quietly reassuring, always in the background, ever present. He was steadfast. He was dependable. He was someone to look up to and to pray to as a young kid. Also, you know, my grandfather's name was Joseph, and he married a girl named Josephine. He had a sister named Josephine as well. I married a girl named Josephine, as you know, and we got married on March 19th, the feast of St. Joseph. So when we had our first son, of course, we called him Joseph. I mean, he's the patron saint of workers. He's my man. I'm all over Joseph, and I pray to him every day. And by the way, remember, we always stopped at the statue of St. Joseph as we were leaving the cathedral to go to breakfast, right?
Yes. I'll tell you what, Deacon. St. Joseph has you covered, yeah, for sure. But there are a lot of saints, but St. Joseph stands out because, you know, he is the second most powerful intercessor to the Blessed Mother. We're going to do another podcast on her. We're, yes, not including her in the Saints podcast. But I mean, you know, just think about Joseph. He's raising the Son of God and the Blessed Mother. I mean, you know, he didn't stand much of a chance, right? When the back door was left open, it had to be Joseph, right?
Right.
But, you know, we have great saints like, you know, Saint Monica, I mean, who prayed for her son, Augustine. And, you know, mothers are special because mothers love with their tears. And it took, yeah, her many, many years before he converted, right? He was another one, you know, his problem was lust, you know, let me be chaste, but not just yet. Right. And, you know, Our Lady of Fatima said that more people go to hell for sins of the flesh than for any other reason. So, you know, when you struggle with things, don't think that the saints didn't struggle with these same things. But I mean, look at Padre Pio, right? I mean, Padre Pio, people have a great devotion to him, a modern day saint who had the wounds of Christ, the stigmata. He also could biolocate, could be in two places at one time. He heard confessions for hours on end and could read souls. So, you know, you take St. Francis de Sales, right? If you want to get a great book, get The Devout Life. That's kind of a classic Catholic book. But, you know, saints weren't all dour and serious like a lot of people think. I mean, there were a lot of funny saints. I mean, look at Pope St. John the 23rd, you know. I always have problems with that. I don't know whether to say Saint Pope or Pope Saint, you know,
right.
Same thing with John Paul II. But John the 23rd was funny. There was a guy who came into, was in a reporter in the Vatican garden with him once, and a lot of workers were out there. And he said to Pope John, how many people work in the Vatican garden? Pope John said about half.
Yeah, so he had a lot of great one-liners. And you had mentioned to me before that Padre Pio inspired you even as a kid as well because of that possession of that burden of stigmata. So, but there are so many saints that are inspirations, particularly women. Women are held in high esteem as saints from the earliest church. I mean, one of the earliest saints is Saint Agnes from the 3rd century.
You went to Saint Agnes. Yes, my parish, right.
Right. And the youngest saint, I think, is still Maria Goretti, who was martyred at 11 years of age. One of the great devotional saints of all time is Saint Therese of Lisieux. I know priests and bishops who have devotions to her. My current favorite is Sister Faustina of Poland, who is behind the whole effort behind Divine Mercy, the Divine Mercy Sunday. And also, no one can forget, and everybody remembers, Mother Teresa, who is a great inspiration for all of us.
Tremendous, yep. Tremendous. I mean, once again, another modern day saint, you know, a very wealthy American went over to follow her around for a few days. And as he was in the streets of Calcutta, there was a man dying. She picked the man up, was holding him in her arms. And the man said, wow, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And Mother Teresa looked up at him and said, neither would I.
Yeah.
So you talk about some impressive people on the team here in the church.
Yeah. Our Protestant friends, many of whom I love very much, they don't discuss or refer to the saints. I guess the original Protestant movement discarded the Catholic tradition of praying to the saints. I mean, they believe in a direct connection with God, no priest or saint to intervene or intercede. But we need our saints. We do. To intercede for us, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we do it in everyday life, right? You know, as a kid growing up, if you wanted something and you had to ask your father, sometimes you'd ask your mother to mediate, right? You'd always ask for an intercessor. And one of the misconceptions is that, like, we worship saints. No, we look to imitate saints. We look to pray to them for their intercession. But, you know, like the statues, right, in churches, we don't worship the statues. It's just like a picture of somebody who's passed away. You know, you don't worship the picture, but the picture of the person reminds you of them and brings back good memories about them. So I think that's a misconception. You know, the great English convert G.K. Chesterton once said that a saint is, it only means a man who really knows he's a sinner. And that's true. And I know it sounds crazy, but another way of saying it is the saints are okay because they know they're not okay. You know, it's like an oxymoron, but you know, it's not that difficult. You know, you just have to work at it like anything else, you know.
You know, there's something in the church called the Litany of the Saints. It's one of the oldest Catholic prayers still in use. It goes back, I think, as far as the 5th century. It's also part of the Easter Vigil Mass and the ordination masses for priests and deacons and bishops. I'll always remember at my own ordination as a deacon, lying prostrate on the floor of St. Patrick's Cathedral, praying with my brothers and with the cardinal facing the altar, all the bishops and priests around him, all of our families, all of our friends, the whole church, calling on all of the saints by name. You know, St. Mark, pray for us, have mercy on us. St. Matthew, have mercy on us. St. John, have mercy on us. And just through all of them and over the time, over the full time of that prayer, it's just an amazing feeling of unity and communion of the saints.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, when I say it's not difficult, I just like to say that you always have to keep in front of you the things you do, the thoughts you think, the words you say. They're either pushing you further away from God or bringing you closer to God. So that's kind of a good way of discerning. But holiness, you know, thank God, it doesn't consist of how much money we have. It doesn't consist of how smart we are. God doesn't ask you to run faster or jump higher. It consists of loving much. I mean, to become a saint, you just have to want to become one.
Yeah. And we are all called to be saints, as we know. And we have to remember that saints didn't all start well, but obviously they all finished well.
Oh, yeah. Great point. Excellent point. Amen to that.
All right, Frank. Love talking to you about this. And to our friends out there, we just want you to like us now, on depending on your platform, or follow us, or send us an email at anycatholicconversation@gmail.com. That's anycatholicconversation@gmail.com. Love talking to you. I'll see you next time, Frank. Thanks so much.
Yeah, take care. God bless you.